Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fight, Thornton and Rabe are exchanging punches.
And now, The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Puck comes to center, in over the line, two on one. Pittsburgh Crosby, the pass gets out in front, and Hauser got across in time to make the save. Knocked down by Bjork in the corner, he couldn't get it. Came in front of the net, they score! Pittsburgh battling that one in as it's tapped into the net by Jeff Carter, appeared to be. And Carter is feasting on the Sabres with his fifth goal in two games. Goes to the corner. Dahlin took a whack and got it in front of the shot. Oh, and Olofsson is robbed in front of the nets. And the puck knocked down in the circle, and that is going to end it in the final game of the season, for Buffalo ends up in a 1-0 loss.
You have nothing if you can't push guys. And I really felt the best thing was to be able to push guys. Guys, you know, wanted to be pushed. They wanted more. They felt they could give more, and they had more in them, within themselves. That was something very, very nice and very special to have as a coach. But just proud to be in the position and be with the group that we had.
All right, it is locker room cleanout week here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. And you're going to hear from lots of key players here. We're going to carry Jeff Skinner here coming up in a few minutes. We're also going to carry Sam Reinhart at 10:30, and Captain Jack Eichel will speak at 11, along with many other players throughout the next couple of days. Kevin Adams and Don Granato will speak on Wednesday. And you know, there's a lot of players here set to speak, as many different emotions leading into locker room cleanout day. So good morning, River. Not a bad final game there on Saturday. Good for Michael Hauser, but we head into locker room cleanout week here. It's like I said, you mixed emotions, and then Jeff Skinner coming up here in a couple minutes.
Yeah. Bittersweet day. You know, there's you realize that you didn't accomplish what you set out to accomplish for many, many, many teams. I'm not just talking about the Buffalo Sabres. I'm talking about there's only one team, to be honest with you, that feels the gratification of a long season, and that's the person that wins the Stanley Cup.
Well, let's hang on to that. It's not the Sabres. And Jeff Skinner, we're gonna roll through these press conferences here. So Jeff Skinner's taking the podium here right now. Let's hear what he has to say.
After Don took over with a new system in place and you receiving more ice time, do you feel like you got closer to making the impact you know that you're capable of?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair statement. I mean, I do see myself as an impact player. I'm obviously disappointed and not satisfied with how much I impacted games over the course of the season. I think as the season went on, there were spurts where I felt like I was able to get back to more being more impactful. And that's something I go into the summer, I'm going to continue to work on and keep trying improving and get back to where I expect to be.
Hey, Jeff, just what was the difference between when Don took over and when Ralph was here? Because it seems like there was a noticeable difference in the way, not just you, but just the whole group was playing. Just what was that difference that that maybe Don brought when he took over?
I think obviously the system was a little bit different. He changed the system. Sometimes you change the voice and guys get a little bit energized from that. But yeah, I mean, there's a little bit more of an aggressive up-tempo type style of play. And we have a lot of young guys, a lot of guys that can skate well. And I think that when you look at our team and the system that Donnie wants to play, there's a lot of sort of similarities matching up sort of the strengths of our team and sort of what strengths bring the best out of that system. So I think the coaching staff as a whole, towards the end of the year, did a good job of sort of matching those two things up.
Good morning, Jeff. You've scored 20 goals in this league 7 times. You've scored 30 goals 4 times. So we know you can put the puck in the net. When you look at the season, though, you see 7 goals, 14 points, shooting only 6%. I mean, how much do you just have to completely flush this season? And how much can you take from it? I mean, is it almost a throwaway and you just have to start over this offseason and rebuild yourself? Or where do you look at the numbers from this thing?
I think you always have lessons you can learn. I mean, obviously those numbers are not something I'm proud of and something I'm not, definitely not something I'm satisfied with. But I think as you go through a season and as you gain experience throughout your career, you have a better sort of measuring stick and also a better sense of sort of where your game's at in compared to sort of how you felt in the past. And I think, of course, a lot of things go into that. There's a lot of variables in a game. And it's not only measured on goals and assists. I think sometimes it can be measured in sort of momentum you're creating for your team, being solid defensively and maybe drawing penalties, creating chances offensively, maybe they're not going in. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, there's more to take away from a game, a season, any stretch of games, and you have a better sense of how to sort of self-analyze your game and where it's at and how to get to where you want to be. And so sort of answering the question, I guess, is that, I mean, completely flushing the season is sort of, I guess, like a saying that you could use that you want to kind of forget about it and move on. But I do think at the same time, there are takeaways that you can get. And that's what I sort of plan to sort of, as you go through the summer, as you get some perspective on the year and sort of can analyze yourself how you went through different situations, you get a chance to get a more clear picture on those takeaways. So I think that's sort of how I view it and sort of how I'm going to sort of take some stuff away and try and learn from it and improve my game.
Jeff, I mean, mentally this season has to be tough for a lot of people with the way, I mean, on the road, you guys aren't really able to go out with just the COVID protocols and especially the way you guys as a team, how your season went. So how did you sort of navigate that, you know, given, you know, how, I guess, displeased you were with how the season went for yourself individually at times and, you know, how it went. I mean, obviously the being scratched for a couple of games, how did you sort of just keep pushing forward, I guess, is the best way I can ask that.
You just find a way. I mean, I think I'm probably echoing what a lot of people have said, that we have it pretty good in the grand scheme of things. I think when you look at the world today, we're pretty fortunate to be able to play hockey, to have our health and to have support around us. So I think obviously in a season, you don't use that and sort of gloss over all the negatives. You still have to play the games and improve yourself, and there's still standards to be met and expectations to be met. But I also think you can't lose perspective of that. And you go through a challenging season like this, and a lot of our challenges are pretty small, more than pretty small than the rest of the world, really. And what challenges you do find yourself in, you have the support of your teammates. We have the support of a great staff here. And then personally, you have your own support system, whether it's your friends and family back home or however you get through difficult situations. And for me, that's sort of how I view that. I think I got a pretty good support system back home with friends and family. And then obviously I think we have a great support system here in Buffalo with the staff we have around us. So, it was challenging, but, in the grand scheme of things, I think we're pretty fortunate.
Hey, Jeff, when you kind of look around the room at kind of who the core is and who you might think the core people are, is the core there to get out of this playoff funk of not making the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then I don't know what you're doing. But I think you look at the talent, I think especially as the season went on and closer to the end of the season, you saw some of the young talent that's here. And those young guys got some more confidence. They got some more experience in different situations, and that's only going to be positive, I think. And I think there's a lot of really good pieces. It's now up to us to sort of put it together.
Jeff, with the way that this team responded to Don towards the end of the season when he took over, as you've talked about, would you like to see him stay as head coach?
Fortunately for me, I don't have to make those kinds of decisions. Like, I just got to worry about hockey. But, I mean, I think they did a good job. I think you come into a season or in sort of mid-season and obviously we're in a tough spot. We're in the middle of a big losing streak. And when that happens, guys don't have confidence. Sort of as a group, you don't have confidence, and it's a tough thing to get out of when you have sort of that fragile mentality as a group. When something goes wrong in a game, it seems like it's inevitable that the next thing that happens is going to go against you. So, I thought they did a good job of sort of navigating that, along with obviously juggling everything else. I thought they did a good job.
Jeff, you have a full no move clause. Have you given any thought? I mean, I'm just throwing scenarios out. If they came to you and wanted you to move that so they could protect someone else for Seattle, would you ponder that? I mean, it would leave you out there, but Botts and Francis are out there. I mean, have you given any thought about that at all? Or would you totally want to stay here?
I haven't thought of it, but I mean, again, I guess up to me. I mean, those fortunately for me, but also for everyone else, I guess those decisions aren't up to me. I think maybe one day, way down the line, I'd be in a position where I could have some say in those decisions, whether it's a manager or something like that. But yeah, I haven't thought about it.
But just in just so I'm clear, I mean, you have a total no move. You have a long-term deal. Your goal is to get ready to be ready to play here, to try to help this team make the playoffs next season, right? There's no.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right. Locker room cleanout day, as you mentioned here on the Instigators, that was Jeff Skinner. You know, as we said, going into all of this, it's mixed emotions. We're going to carry Sam Reinhart at 10:30. We wanted to carry Jeff Skinner because of the season that he had, the storylines that surrounded him. You know, the expansion draft question, I think it's a great question. It's a curious one on my part. What happens with Jeff Skinner going into next year? Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. So, Riv, we come right out of the gate, right into a Zoom press conference, and we'll have Sam at 10:30. We'll have Jack Eichel at 11:10.
I can't imagine this guy wants to sit there. I can't imagine he wants to sit there and answer these questions.
What?
You're sitting there talking to Jeff Skinner. You only want to ask one question. All the other questions are hogwash. Okay. They want to know one question. And that's the one Mike Harrington just asked at the end. You have a no movement clause. You have to be protected. Will you waive that to possibly, I'm not saying it would happen, to possibly go to Seattle Kraken? That's the question that everybody wants to know.
But there's also more to that question, because is it not, and I'll have to dissect this more at the break and get all the information on this, because it's from what I took from the question in that regard is, would you waive your no movement clause so that the Sabres could protect somebody else? It doesn't necessarily mean that they take Jeff Skinner, but maybe they don't have the option take somebody else. It's like, Jeff, the odds are they're not going to take you at $9 million. They're not. And we're not going to give anything up of significance for them to take you, like carry your salary for $4.5 million.
Zero. And I mean zero. There is zero chance. It's not even a percentage that you would take Jeff Skinner in that draft. So you want Jeff Skinner to waive his no movement so the Sabres have an opportunity to protect another younger player.
And expose somebody else,
Well, just expose Jeff Skinner, because Seattle's not going to take him.
That's right.
Right?
Not, yeah.
If Seattle goes to take Jeff Skinner, there is a deal that goes along with Jeff Skinner being moved to the Kraken. But I like your thinking. If Jeff Skinner waives his no movement clause, that means they can put him out there for the Kraken to take. Meanwhile, they know that the Kraken's not going to take him, and they have the ability to protect another player. It's a smart move. If Jeff Skinner wants to be a Buffalo Sabre, if he plans on being a Buffalo Sabre, then it's 100% decision that Jeff Skinner should be making as a player, because it's just going to strengthen the team moving forward by them being able to protect more players.
You know, we said coming into the show, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG, Sabres locker room cleanout. We're going to listen to Sam at 10:30. We'll hear Jack at 11:10. There are other players speaking today and tomorrow, and interim head coach Don Granato at 11 on Wednesday, and general manager Kevin Adams at 11:30 on Wednesday. And we'll definitely carry both of those, I'm sure. But to the point that I wanted to make was, you know, one of the first things we said, and it's funny, if you heard our pre-show conversations that Craig and I have with Jeff Koltenak, you know, we're talking about, you know, the direction right off the start and where do we want to start. And I wrote two lines down. Okay. And I wrote them down and I just said, Craig, where do you want to head? And you're like, well, it's locker room cleanout day, week, whatever. That's what I wrote. And then he said, what was the next thing you said? I'm sure there are a lot of different emotions player to player. And my exact line that I had written were mixed emotions, I'm sure, amongst the players about today specifically. What did you mean by that, mixed emotions?
Well, you've been through this before, right? You've been through it as a player. There are mixed emotions for all different types of players. Like Casey Mittelstadt, for an example, I'll just use him. He's pretty pleased. He's pretty pleased with Don Granato. He's pretty pleased with the opportunity that he was given that he did not get with Ralph Kruger. He was a taxi squad guy. He was just a practice player. Well, Don Granato gave Casey Mittelstadt not only an opportunity, but a significant opportunity. And Casey Mittelstadt took advantage of it. He has put the doubters on the back burner for now. Okay. We saw a lot of really good things from Casey Mittelstadt, and his feeling about going into next year, he's excited. He's excited. He's going to need a new contract. Obviously looking to build off what he did in these last, 25 plus games. And there's a good feeling from Casey Mittelstadt with what he's accomplished in his season. Okay. There's going to be other players that are going to have to make decisions. Guys like, you know, Sam Reinhart. Sam Reinhart is due for a contract himself. Sam Reinhart is not in the same situation as Casey Mittelstadt. Sam Reinhart's been in a situation here in Buffalo that has been a tough one for a number of years. He has continued to play at a really strong upper level category of player in this league for all those years. Sam seems to continue to get better. And even though Sam, for an example, individually did very well this year, 25 goals in what, 50 some games, Sam was on pace for, you know, 35 plus goals this year. And
he might have surpassed that if he's able to play another 20, yeah. How many games? So 26 games.
Yeah.
If he's still continuing to go at the pace that he's going, he might have had a few more 2-goal games. He might have mixed in a 3.
Very possible. I'm going on simple.
No, I know. I'm just saying
he would have had 10 and 26. But I'll tell you, he's a 35 goal scorer. He's going to be a 60 point guy. And that's playing ultimately the entire season without Jack Eichel, which, you know, if you play with Jack Eichel, you know, throughout your entire year, you're going to play some good hockey because Jack's an elite player. Sam's turned himself into, just a glue guy, the guy that just seems to get it done. It doesn't matter where he plays, where you put him at wing, or he played the last number of games at center, and Sam looked absolutely fantastic. He really helped this very, very young team continue to be competitive and build something. But again, Sam is in that situation where it's been 6 years. It's been 6 years of the same thing.
Before, it's like Groundhog Day for these guys, some of them. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, then you look at, some of the younger players. Rasmus Dahlin really had a nice ending to his season, really rough start at the start of the year, but really rounded out and was playing fantastic, was playing a lot of minutes, eating a lot of minutes, playing against the best players. I thought Rasmus Dahlin really grew. So he should be excited about the future and what his future holds. Rasmus Ristolainen. It's been 8 years, 542 games. He's got 245 points, 8 years, 0 playoff opportunity. At some point in time, you know, this environment is just going to wear on you. There's no question about it. And Ristolainen, I'm going to tell you right now, we've all watched him for many years and we've all had the ability to, you know, to beat him down when we've had the opportunity with his analytics and all that kind of stuff. And he doesn't have a good Corsi this, a Corsi that. Well, it's all a bunch of hogwash to me, because I'm going to tell you right now, this is the one player throughout this entire long, tough situation that regardless if he's -2 or -3 or whatever happens, he's going to give 100%. He's going to give you 100% each and every game that he plays. And, I feel bad for Rasmus. I really do. Being a right-handed defenseman like myself, and, you know, I had the ability to play on, you know, some really bad teams. We were going through some times in Montreal where we're a very, very much in transition and didn't make the playoffs. But I played on teams that made the playoffs and that were very, 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 very good. And it's fun to win.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSGS Locker Room Cleanout Day. As Craig speaks about Rasmus Ristolainen, let's just toss to him and hear what he has to say here as players are speaking on Locker Room Cleanout Day.
Shortly after Ralph was let go, you said it was on the players, that, you know, the players are the ones who have to go out there and win games. You know, you guys performed better when Don took over. So what do you think, from your perspective, what the difference was, that, you know, maybe there was more buy-in, or what do you think?
Difference between
how you guys played after Don took over. You guys played, you know, you were competitive a lot of nights against good teams on the stretch. You know, what do you think really the difference was, you know, for you guys as a group?
I feel like after Donnie got here, I feel more players were buying into his system and actually like the way we were trying to play. So I think, especially a lot of young guys in the team. So I think Donnie did a lot of good for their individual confidence. So that got a lot of guys going, I feel.
Hi, Rasmus. I don't know if you would agree with me, and you can tell me if you don't, but it seemed to me like you had your best season this year. So you coming off your best season moving forward here, the losing didn't get any better. It did once Donnie took over, but still you guys were in last place overall. So what are your feelings about remaining in Buffalo? Do you still want to give it a go, or are you ready to move on?
Like I told Kevin a little while ago, I just said I'm open for all the ideas right now. It's hard to, obviously the season just ended. So yeah, I'm frustrated, I'm pissed, and it sucks. So, you know, so I told him I'm open for all the scenarios, staying, or if he trades me, I'm fine with that too. So
hey Rasmus, John Morrow, just to piggyback off of that, just wondering, I mean, do you, we've been here in this situation numerous times before, is there anything that you can say that provides you, that gives you hope that this team can be better next year?
I mean, I hope we make moves and some signings, and you know, don't know who's the coach next year. But when all those things happen, I mean, that for sure would give me confidence about next year. But I mean, the way like the younger guys played this year towards the end of the year, I mean, it gives you confidence about the future. But like for me, I can't go for another rebuild or wait multiple years. For me, I mean, we have to get to playoffs next year, and for me, it's either here or hopefully then somewhere else.
Thank you.
When you reflect on
All right, that was Rasmus Ristolainen with some always good for some good sound bites. We're going to break right now. When we come back, Sam Reinhart, it's Locker Room Cleanout Day, and there's lots to take on. We have all week to dissect and analyze everything that's being said by the players, but it's important for you to hear what they have to say, especially after a season like this. So we'll go to break. We'll come back right here on the Instigators.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
GR 550 and MSG, and we'll hear Sam Reinhart addressing in his postseason press conference.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. As we mentioned before, it's locker room cleanout day, and Craig and I have, having been through this, know that there are obviously mixed emotions when it comes to this sort of thing. We just heard from Rasmus Ristolainen. We will hear from Captain Jack Eichel at 11:10. What would you like to hear from Jack Eichel? Tweet at the Instigators. And we'll have some time to talk about it. We'll tell you what we want to hear from Jack before he speaks at 11:10. But Sam Reinhart is speaking. We have it. And here's what he has to say. Stick around. Here he is.
Sam, with what's going on here, the losing continued, although in the end of the season with Don, things had gotten better. And I don't know how encouraging that is. But with that, and for whatever reason, you've never been able to get a long-term contract, and those reasons you know, and you only know. How do you feel now about continuing in Buffalo? Would you like to stay? Will you ask to be traded? How do you feel about it?
Right now, just finishing another season. It's more just disappointment on the forefront, in the mind. It's almost tougher this year. For me personally, feeling good towards the end of the year and feeling like my game was in a good place, and to not be playing any meaningful games down the stretch and into the playoffs is definitely disappointing right now. In terms of the future, don't really have much for you right now. We're going to take some time. That stuff's all going to get figured out when the time comes.
Sam, how encouraging was it, if at all, that you guys were able to, be in a lot of games late in the season, as, even though they weren't meaningful, as you said, with, Donnie's system and just the young guys coming along the way that they did?
There's not much, to take right now. Like I said, just another year. It's disappointing right now. Not really looking to be in the business, just to be in games.
Sam, this is the most we've seen you play at center, I think, since obviously you joined the NHL. See you at wing, obviously, when you started your career for the entire time. Moving to center, obviously, you look pretty comfortable this year. Do you feel like this was a move that could have been made a couple of years ago?
I don't know. The way our roster shaped up, You know, the last couple of months, it made it easier and more of an obvious choice. Like I've expressed to you guys, I really like the challenge. I really embraced it. I had a lot of fun with it. But no, I don't. I'm not going back into years past and thinking that it should have been done earlier. I felt comfortable with where I was, and I think it was probably at the time best. You know, for me to be on the wing. Just looking at how our roster shaped up and you know, who was playing the field kind of thing. So, I really liked the challenge this year and felt really comfortable, back in the position where I spent my whole, life, until I got into the league.
Sam, what was Don's biggest impact on the team, in your opinion?
It was, you know, it's not an easy situation, making that change, right? You guys know we were going through some pretty tough times. It's unfortunate that in this business, you almost need, kind of reset. It's just unfortunate, for me being here, how often that reset is.
Sam, kind of going off of that, we just talked to Risto and he said, he can't be part of another rebuild and wait multiple years to see this thing get turned around, essentially. Do you kind of have that feeling? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you feel that way since you've also been here for a while now and haven't seen any postseason?
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to go through a rebuild, especially going into next year, turning 26 at the start of it, or close to the start of it. It's tough not being able to play meaningful games on the stretch, like you said. And, I don't think anyone wants to go through that now.
Sam, you've played over 450 games, you've had 5 or 6 20-goal seasons here, and yet here we are talking about this playoff situation again. And every season has really been different in a lot of ways. They haven't really all been the same. Why do you think this organization just never gets it together? I mean, right from the top, why have you guys never even really gotten close to the playoffs other than maybe one time where you played a few games in March and thought you were in it?
Not sure.
I mean, as a guy who's played 400 plus games, you have no real thought why?
No, I don't have much for you right now.
Does that?
Sorry, everyone. Go ahead, Mike.
The only other follow I would have with that, Sam, would be is, the adage players play and coaches coach and managers manage. Is that kind of, you guys are at the point where they have to put you guys in a position in a better way than they have?
I don't really know what you're asking here.
Well, I mean, through all the times and the moves and the coaching changes and the GM changes, how difficult is it for a player who's been here a while to try to help forge a winning team when things are constantly in upheaval?
Yeah, it's very difficult.
With your exit interview and your goodbyes to player or teammates, how would you describe the state of the Sabres right now?
It's disappointing. Like I said, no one wants to be going home right now. No one wants to be, done this early again.
Sam, how much will who the next coach is factor into your decision as to your future and what your future holds?
Honestly, probably not much. Haven't really thought about that. I'm not too sure. I don't have answers where you know, I'm not the guy to ask in terms of who's you know, personnel for next year and who's going to be here. So I think everyone's got some soul searching to do and you know, has to look in the mirror you know, at the end of the day and figure it out for themselves.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that was interesting. I mean, okay. So number one, Sam wouldn't be going through a rebuild. He'd be a part of the rebuild. He would be traded for pieces to come in to rebuild the team. Number two, you know, you talk about mixed emotions, Riv. I'm really curious to know your thoughts on this, but that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say mixed emotions. After a season like this, this guy probably cannot wait to get far enough away from here and decompress. And rightfully so. He's done everything that he can. And in a positive way, he played really well, but I do believe his time in Buffalo is over. I think he'll be moved in the offseason to help build this team and bring in pieces. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, people hear that and they think it's catastrophic. And I say that in as honest as I can, because it'll be good for Sam and it'll be good for this team. And that's that. There's no sugarcoating it. If I'm on this team sitting in the back room, sorry, Craig, and I'm sitting there, I got a little hangover going because we were together with the guys last night. And, you know, like I'm sitting there and I'm watching this or listening to this, I'm thinking, he's moving on.
Okay. I like your point, but I'm going to alter it just a little bit. You spoke of the words rebuild. I don't like to use the word rebuild.
He was asked about rebuild. I understand that.
I'm
quoting a question.
Rebuild is basically starting from the bottom, you know, where you have a losing team. You don't have some positive pieces to, you know, to work with. Here in Buffalo, there are a lot of very good pieces. Okay. A lot of very good pieces. I don't like the term rebuild. I would like the term if we can use restructuring. Okay. Let me tell you something. And I'm just going to throw a hypothetical, and I hope it doesn't come to this, but it might. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, and Rasmus Ristolainen are wanting to move on. Okay. You're looking at least $22+ million for these three players. Jack making 10, Risto making 5.5 or 5.4, and Sam Reinhart's going to be making $7 million somewhere, okay, for a long-term deal. If you go to move those three players, I'm going to tell you this, Sam Reinhart in particular has never, in all the years he's played this, is his stock bigger and better than what it is right now. So if we plan on moving Sam Reinhart, and I'm not saying that we do, because I would like to have him back, but if we don't, we will get a very strong return. Okay? That's number one. Rasmus Ristolainen, he is a right-handed 27-year-old defenseman that teams are going to look at him and say, if we can get Rasmus Ristolainen in our environment on our team where he's not playing on a last place team every year, we think that he could be an absolute stud. Right-handed defensemen in the National Hockey League are like unicorns. Okay? They're extremely, extremely hard to get if you can get a good one. And I think there's a lot of teams out there that would really like to have a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen and the way that he plays the game. Then it comes to Jack. If you elect to move a guy like Jack, okay, it's going to be a very big deal. You will get a lion's share in a return coming back that not only is going to be beneficial for the long-term future of the Sabres, but probably will even have an immediate impact, okay? You're not taking one player, you're getting multiple players that will help your team immediately. So I'm not saying that these three guys will be moved. I'm saying if they are moved, you're basically making an organizational change. And it's not a rebuild. It's not a rebuild. It's a restructuring of your assets.
Because you're not just bringing in draft picks and young prospects.
I don't think there's one person out there that wants draft picks.
You know, when I think about Sam, I don't know what Sam's value is, but I think about a Ryan Johansson deal and I think about Seth Jones coming the other way, you know, like a one-for-one for a top-tier defenseman. Right. I mean, that's what we need, a top-tier defenseman. There's a top-three draft pick now coming to the team. I mean, you know, what is the state of the Sabres? That was asked to Sam Reinhart. We have a long offseason to talk about it. We'll talk about it a little more on the other side of the break. And what do we expect to hear from Captain Jack Eichel when he speaks at 11:10. We're going to carry it right here on WGR 550 and MSG. Stick around, lots more to come, not just today, but all week. I'll go over the schedule tomorrow of who's talking, Kevin Adams and Don Granato on Wednesday. What do we expect to hear from them? All that coming up here today and the next couple days. We'll be right back. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we need your help. Connect Life declares a blood emergency. The local and national blood supply have once again dropped dangerously low, and Connect Life has declared a blood emergency. In recent weeks, there's been a 20% increase in hospital utilization of blood due to traumas and surgeries, which has led to a destabilization of supply. Connect Life currently has less than 1 day supply of the O type or O blood type and a 2 day supply of all other blood types. According to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines do not interfere with blood donation, so there is no waiting period. If you would like to make an appointment to donate, you can call 716-529-4270. Or go to connectlife.org, okay? So anyone out there who can help and donate some blood, again, you can make an appointment to donate. You can call 716-529-4270 or go to connectlife.org. We will be right back. It's Locker Room Cleanout Day here. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Jack Eichel set to speak at 11:10. We'll talk about what we expect to hear from Jack on the other side of the break. We'll hear from Jack, and then we'll talk about that after. So stick around, lots to come.